Al Jazeera Podcasts.
Today, inside the Gaza Solidarity Encampment at Columbia University that sparked a movement.
Up and down the East Coast, those protests are spreading.
Here in New York City, at NYU, at the New School, Yale, MIT, Tufts, Vanderbilt, and University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
I'm Malika Bilal, and this is The Take. On Wednesday, we brought you the story of the last few months on Columbia's campus. This is part two of that story.
Dr. Shafiq, Mr. Schuser, Ms. Shipman, and Mr. Greenwald, you're here testifying today because
On April 17th, Columbia University President Nimat Manush Shafiq testified before a congressional committee.
And we are prepared to bring you back if we don't see more tangible progress.
The committee is investigating claims of anti-Semitism on the New York City campus.
Anti-Semitism has no place on our campus, and I am personally committed to doing everything I can to confront it directly.
Shafiq has been criticized by both pro-Palestine and pro-Israel students for how she's handled protests at the university. The same day as the hearing, in the morning, students had started an encampment in solidarity with Gaza. They camped out on the lawn that sits between the main campus buildings, where students attend classes, have study sessions, get food. The students were there to make some demands of Columbia.
My name is Miriam Alwan, and I'm with Columbia SJP, Students for Justice in Palestine, and we are here today to demand that Columbia divest immediately from all stakes in Israeli apartheid.
The students want Columbia to divest from companies with ties to Israel. They also want an end to academic partnerships with Israeli schools, an end to the repression of pro-Palestine voices on campus, and a release of a public statement calling for an immediate permanent ceasefire in Gaza.
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
If Rafa doesn't get it!
Shut it down!
The first day was calm. Students pitched tents among the buildings, played drums, and set up signs. The following day, Columbia's president took action. Shafiq asked the New York Police Department to clear the encampment.
Let go of her!
Students are protesting Israeli military action in Gaza and demanding the school divest from companies who are involved with Israel.
In New York, riot police moved in on a peaceful student protest encampment, arresting at least 108 people at Columbia.
Fadi Shuman was one of those students.
We saw the NYPD was coming in. We called everybody who was camping and, you know, come into the gates. And we got in a circle and we linked arms and we waited. This was peaceful. We weren't here to cause any harm. We were here to get our demands met. So we stood there. We were peaceful.
Around 1:30 p.m. on April 18th, as NYPD officers entered the Columbia campus, they began breaking up the encampment and making arrests. They bound protesters' hands with zip ties and sent them to waiting police buses. Fadi was among those in police custody, along with at least 107 others. That night, our producer, Ashish Malhotra, headed to Columbia.
It's about 10 p.m. on Thursday, April 18th. I'm outside the gates of Columbia University. The gates of the campus are closed shut. There's a significant police presence. There's a lot of barricades around, some news trucks. So there's clearly a sense that something happened here today. And then every now and then, I don't know if you can hear it, but every now and then, there's clearly still some students inside the gates of campus who are banging on drums and cheering.
Columbia security was not letting media in, including Ashish.
Hey, I'm a journalist. Am I allowed to get in there right now?
I doubt it.
Okay.
Yeah.
What you say you doubt, isn't it up to you? Or?
No, not up to me.
Okay, who's it up to?
Again, I doubt it. They're not letting nobody in campus.
So he found a large group of protesters outside the gates, marching on the city streets that surround campus.
Okay, so I've just gone around the corner, and as you can probably hear behind me, there is a large protest of people. There's probably a couple of hundred, 200 at least. Most of them are wearing Palestinian scarves. They've got signs, they've got flags. Got some people looking outside of windows. Well, interesting. There's a guy looking outside the window of his building, giving them a heart sign. Right above him is a window full of Israeli flags. So shows the divide right there that's been playing out on this campus. This crowd is getting bigger from what I can tell. Maybe 200-300 now. They don't show any signs of losing energy here. Got people banging on drums. Got people banging on pots and pans. Got people handing out pizza. You know, like I said, they're planning to go all night, it seems.
While Ashish was outside the gates, we were in touch with an independent journalist who was inside. Talia Jane had embedded herself with students in the encampment and sent dispatches to the take a few hours later when it was quieter.
It's almost 2 a.m., Friday, April 19th, at the Gaza Solidarity Encampment here at Columbia University in Harlem, New York. This encampment was launched 2 days ago and was cleared yesterday forcibly by the NYPD. The encampment is rebuilding, this time with no tents, but with a lot of gumption.
Talia spent the night in the camp. We heard from her again in the morning.
It's 7 a.m. and a news helicopter has been flying overhead for the past half hour. The sounds of the chopper overhead definitely urged everyone to wake up and look up, speculating that it was NYPD, but it's just a news helicopter that's very loud, too early in the morning.
But the students Talia spoke to said they were in good spirits.
So how are you guys feeling this morning?
Rested, blissful, joyful, happy. Beatific, even, some would say.
Beatific?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're feeling good.
Yeah?
It was a nice night.
Well, it seems like you guys are in a pretty good mood, despite,
yeah,
you know, you slept, there's no tent here.
There's no tents,
you slept,
yeah,
just fully rough in it. You know, there's obviously been a concern about possible police, mm-hmm, repression and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. I think we had, like, a contingency plan. Like, if the police come in, like, I'm going to unzip the sleeping bag from this side. Like, he's going to sleep it from that side. But I think in general, like, we had...
As the day wore on, our producer, Ashish, was eventually able to get on campus.
So we're on the lawn in front of Butler Library now. It took us quite a while to get into campus. They're not being particularly friendly to press today. We spoke to some people outside, but yeah, we finally got inside, and there's about maybe 100 to 200 people on the lawn. Chanting, singing in a circle.
He spoke to Fadi, the student you heard earlier who'd been arrested. He'd returned to the encampment.
We were released. We have a summons for trespassing. And I'm trespassing on a university that I'm paying tens of thousands of dollars a year to go to. How? It doesn't make sense. It really doesn't make sense.
Fadi says what happened is part of a broader trend of repressing pro-Palestinian voices on campus. And it's something he says he's faced personally on several occasions since October.
Different ways. They've suspended me multiple times with zero backing on any of their accusations that they've made. They've kicked me out of my housing. multiple times. The third time being today when they confiscated our items after the sweep. That happened yesterday. I had my key, my medication, my house key, all of my belongings in my backpack, my telephone. I had no way of contacting anyone to get back into my home. I had no way of getting warm clothing. I had no way of getting food. I had no wallet, nothing.
When he got back from police custody, Fadi had to rely on friends for help.
I was able to find the friend to let me stay the night at their place. I came back to campus and I found the friend. Public safety, they lied to us last night. They told us they don't know where our belongings is, and lo and behold, this morning, they knew where our belongings were. Surprise. I told them I needed my medication. I told them I needed my house key. I told them I needed my telephone. And they said, it's not an emergency. Wait till tomorrow. We will figure this out for you. They were very disrespectful to us when we went to go speak to them about this matter last night. It shows what they have done and continue to do to people who speak out for Palestine.
And on Monday, faculty showed their solidarity with students in a walkout. We reached out to Columbia for comment on the encampment and how students were treated, but they didn't respond. At an online press briefing on Tuesday, a spokesperson for Columbia said, quote, "The current protest is in violation of university rules, full stop, and we are taking steps to resolve it," end quote. More on what students and faculty are making of that position after the break.
Get your news in less than 3 minutes, three times per day, with the Al Jazeera News Updates. Just ask your home device to play the news by Al Jazeera or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Since the arrests at Columbia last week, the mood at the university has remained tense. Protests have continued. Pro-Israel, pro-Palestine, on campus, off campus, and by students and non-students. Over the weekend, footage emerged of protesters outside the university gates confronting demonstrators holding an Israeli flag.
Go back to party!
The video shows them being told to go back to Poland. Situations like these have led some Jewish students and staff to say they don't feel safe on campus. One Columbia rabbi told Jewish students to stay home for their own safety due to what he called extreme anti-Semitism on campus.
Columbia rabbi Ellie Buchler writing to students, "It deeply pains me to say that I would strongly recommend you return home as soon as possible and remain home until the reality in and around campus has dramatically improved."
On Monday night, the university said that for the rest of the school year, all classes will include a remote option, saying safety is our highest priority.
Pro-Palestinian protesters at Columbia University appear to have a new deadline to remove their encampment from school grounds.
The news comes after the initial deadline passed at midnight.
A school spokesperson told us overnight that conversations will continue for the next 48 hours. Now, we know a similar...
The situation at Columbia even drew the attention of U.S. President Joe Biden. This is from an event on Monday.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians and how they're being moved.
Should the Columbia University president resign?
I didn't know that.
At the Gaza Solidarity encampment, Columbia student organizers have distanced themselves from the protesters seen outside campus over the weekend, calling them inflammatory individuals who do not represent us. And many of the protesters at the encampment are Jewish. Journalist Talia Jane spoke to one student who asked to go by the name Raymond, as Talia was sending dispatches to the Take on Friday.
As someone whose a lot of family comes from Israel, and I'm Jewish, my family is Jewish, it's incredibly important for me to be here because these are the values of Judaism that I was raised on.
We also heard from Jonathan Ben-Menachem, a sociology PhD student at Columbia.
The protests do not make me feel unsafe as a Jewish student. I feel inspired by the protests. It's possible that, Jewish students are experiencing discomfort, particularly Jewish students who feel invested in Israel and their connection to it, right? Yeah, I really want to stress the difference between, you know, safety and comfort on this one.
He's not at the encampment, but says he walks by it every day.
It's like a tiny corner of campus that they have tents on. Just like one individual lawn. So yeah, I mean, really hard to square that with this sort of national discourse that the National Guard needs to be sent in because it's dangerous for Jews. I do want to stress that there's really no verification that any sort of anti-Semitic incidents on or near campus originate from the protesters in support of Palestine. For years or like decades now, there's this broader strategy to, you know, say any statement in support of Palestine or criticizing Israel is like anti-Semitism or like tantamount to violence. And, you know, this whole like hysteria over Columbia's campus feels like a distraction from the actual violence happening in our names. Like the physical universities in Gaza were destroyed and every camera is now focusing on an Ivy League campus, you know. It feels wrong.
Fadi, who was arrested last week, feels the university hasn't treated pro-Palestine and pro-Israel students in the same way.
There's a complete double standard in disciplinary processes that have happened here in terms of, you know, pro-Israel supporters and pro-Palestinian supporters here at Columbia, where speaking out for Palestine will get you suspended.
And like Jonathan, Fadi also worries that Columbia's reaction to the protests is taking focus away from where he feels it should be, in Gaza, where Israel's war has killed more than 34,000 people.
It pains me that we got to sit here and defend ourselves, because we don't want to center ourselves in this moment. We don't center Gaza, but they continuously are trying to put us on our backs. But we don't want to deviate from the messages. We need to stop the genocide in Gaza. We need a ceasefire. We need liberation of every single inch of Palestinian land. This is the message we want to center. We don't want to center we are being harassed on this campus. This is secondary. We want to center Gaza. We want to center all of Palestine first.
And that's The Take. To see video and pictures of the encampment and the protests around them, head to our social accounts. We're at AJE Podcasts on X and Instagram. For part one of our story on Columbia, and for all of our reporting on the war in Gaza, head to our website at aljazeera.com/podcasts. This episode was produced by Ashish Malhotra, Berenice Campana, Tabish Talib, Nagin Oliayi, and Khalid Sultan, with Chloe K. Lee, Sariyat Khalili, Amy Walters, David Enders, Sonia Bagat, Zainab Badr, Catherine Nguyen, Manahil Navid, and me, Malika Bilal. Our sound designer is Alex Roldan. Joe Plord mixed this episode. Alexandra Locke is The Take's executive producer, and Nay Alvarez is Al Jazeera's head of audio. We'll be back tomorrow.